Yeah, my song Praise Leaders Tired. Yeah, they didn't wore him out this weekend. Bless your heart. Amen. I feel it. I feel you. So we're going to let you off. We're going to let you off. I'm looking. We'll let you off. All right. How's everybody doing? Good. Y'all got the word?
Yes, sir.
Word up. Electronically and otherwise. I'm looking, I'm scanning. By the way, we have a camera now. I guess I should have gave a disclosure. We're watching you. God is watching you. And so am I. Hold your Bibles up. That's the only exercise you're going to get all week anyhow, so hold it up. Now change hands. Amen. All right, I'm scanning. The picture is being, if you don't have your Bible, you'll get a note in the mail. And a 25 automatic insufficient funds fee out of your account for not having the Holy Ghost in the church with you, not bringing your Bible. Amen? Amen. All right. Don't come in here slipping. Amen. Slipping and dipping. Don't come in here without your word. Don't come in here without a smile and some love in your heart. You're in the wrong place. We are binding all evil spirits that have not come to participate in fellowship with the house of God. For too long, we've been tolerating stuff. But those days are rapidly coming to a close. We plan to bind all demons that are antichrist and are contrary to the fellowship of the house of God. People come from all different places. They need an environment that's responsible, that's healthy, that's nurturing, and that's loving. And we make no apologies for being lovable. Amen. We make no apologies for being kind and courteous and approaching you with a smile. We have classes on teaching brethren how to smile. We make them hold it till it hurts. And the longer it hurts, that's that demon coming out of there. Because it shouldn't hurt to smile. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of songs out there about smiling. You know them. And then we have to get one called Sing and Be Happy. I could never figure that out, that you'd have to tell a believer to sing and be happy. That is what we do because of our God. Amen? Y'all got time for a little word? Now, we've been working on the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, it's good to see you guys. I know y'all been away. And I apologize. We've been away. But in the kingdom of God, handling God's business, I'm grateful to my son in the faith. My sons, pray for Don. He's not with us today. He had to work, but we want him to know that we are with him. And he's our brother. We love him. He's a good assistant to me along with my son in the faith. And then, of course, the one who keeps us energized. Amen. I'm his preacher, but he's my minister, minister of music. All right, if you have your Bible, let's go quickly to John the 16th chapter. You know we have been working for some time and we'll continue to work from the topic of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at really what's called a theology of pneumatology. That's big language for a study of the Holy Spirit from Scripture. It's a biblical perspective. And one of the reasons we're going down this route, because our theme this year has been to see Jesus. Once you encounter the Christ introduces you to the third person of the Godhead. And it is he that begins the process of what we call spiritual transformation or spiritual formation. Every believer needs to know that God didn't save you for you. He saved you for him. And while saving you for him, he saved you from you. Amen. And so what has to happen, you and I must diminish, and the Spirit of God must take place in our hearts and our lives. It's called transformation. Now, the work of transformation is not your work. Amen. You and I have done enough work already. Now we got to let him do the work. I'm just laying the foundation because I want you to understand we're on a journey. And we are expecting you to look different, to act different. So we have no expectations in the church. We don't even expect believers to show up. You know, listen, a believer, if he or she is a believer, they're going to show up. and they'll be ready to serve. Spiritual formation is about letting God do with you what you cannot do for yourself. You cannot make changes for you. If that's the case, you wouldn't need Jesus. You need help. I know I need help. I need everybody in the Godhead to help me. I live in your world. I drive on your freeways. Say amen. I need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, God says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of his own Son. The word image there simply means to be etched out. It was a term used literally in the arts where one would etch out a sketch. It's kind of what Stan does. It's kind of what Don does when they get ready to make something. Don made this. Don made that. But he saw it before he made it. The Spirit's work is to help you to see what you're supposed to look like. Say amen, somebody. That's why we got to focus on Jesus. We got to quit focusing on the church. We're the church. And if it's messed up, well, congratulations. You and I are to blame. Amen. And I'm tired of hanging out in a jacked up, messed up church. I'm tired of it, so I'm going to change. Better yet, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work a change in me. And what he works on is not your feet. Because if he did, you'd be a little quicker about getting to the house of the Lord. Say amen, somebody. And he don't work on your hands. You can wave them all you want. But if it ain't in your heart, it doesn't matter. You understand that? And so the work of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit, they partner together indwelling the believer to bring about God's design for your life. God has already predetermined what you're going to look like in his Son. Amen. Now, you don't have to look like me. And I love God. God can work with you with your personality. Amen. Amen. You don't have to watch Extreme Makeover to get one. And some of you, bless your heart, need an extreme. The guys like Mike and myself, we need an extreme. An extreme, extreme makeover. God can make you over without messing you up. Yeah. Say amen. He ain't going to fool with your makeup, so you ain't got to worry about that. Amen. But he will help you make some adjustments with your attitude, with your disposition. And I believe that if we're going to witness to this world internally, some things has to take place. And that is we got to let the Holy Spirit in our lives begin to do his work. Is that all right? I'm just laying the foundation. So we started off talking about the Spirit of God, and it started with Jesus. Y'all remember in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, while in the temple, someone handed him the scroll. The deacon handed him the scroll. He went straight to Isaiah 61, and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. And look at the five-phase ministry of Jesus. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal broken hearts, sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who've been captive, and then to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, when we get through, it's time to celebrate. Amen. You ever seen that movie, Extreme Makeover? Whenever they get through making over something, they celebrate. They show the before. We ought to have a picture. God has a picture of each one of us. I think he does. If not, we ought to have one. The way you were, and the way you are. And if they still look alike, then something wrong. Something went wrong. Something wrong. Something wrong with the water you got in. Say amen. Say amen. After a while, you and I ought to start looking like Jesus. What does that mean? Ought to be a little more love in there. A little more patience. Amen. Amen. So it's like a little more tolerance. Just a little more hanging in there with your preacher. He's still working. I have to remind Sister Hawkins, he's still working. Because now she want to know, well, when is he going to finish? Of course, now I got Bible for everything I say. I take a Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, and I remind her that he that began a good work in me will see it through unto the day of completion.
Hallelujah.
Say amen. About that time, Sister Hawkins, she'll go get a scripture in his own. It's going to be all right when he gets done. Well, somebody said, well, when he going to get done? When he finish? When will he finish? When he's through. Right? He ain't through. So God wants to work. Anybody need some work done on them? Yeah, you know when your car ain't running right. Like my car ain't running right. I got 210,000 miles on it. It's probably time for another timing belt and a tune-up. But I can just feel it. But you know how long you... Anybody know anything about that? Now, women may not agree, but you can just feel. You can feel when them injectors are open and that gas is getting straight there. You can think about touching the accelerator, the car take off. But lately, my car's starting to mimic me. We kind of slow. And every now and then I push on it. I'm going, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Needs a tune-up. And so I got to take it in. Anybody need a tune-up this morning? Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Well, God does precision tune-ups. Watch the text. The Spirit of the Lord, we've learned, does three things. I'm just rehearsing, recovering. I'm just going over some stuff, and we'll be to the text in just a moment. Y'all remember this? John chapter 14 and verse 26, he is a teacher. John chapter 15 and verse 26, he is a testifier. John chapter 16 and verse 13, he is a guide. So the Spirit of God indwells the believer. Is that right? Romans 8 and verse 9. He lives in, he takes up residence. And while he's in there, he's doing some work, but you gotta let him do his work. One of the first things, he's gonna start teaching you. He's gonna teach you about God. Then he's gonna teach you about you. The reason he has to teach you about God so that you know how you got here. He can't teach you about you unless you start believing you are God. So he starts with God, then he goes immediately to talk to you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to show you. He speaks to you, but some of you are not listening. Some of you are saying, I've been all my life. Don't say that. I ain't never heard him say nothing to me. I question what church you really in. Who wants to be in a church where the third person of the Godhead has nothing to say? Who told you that? You ever peeped over into the book of Revelations? Jesus told the seven churches of Asia, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the pews, to the pulpit, to the people. You understand that? So the Spirit speaks, but you got to let him speak. You got to be able to hear him. So maybe you should start praying, God, prepare my ear, my spiritual inner ear, to hear what the Spirit says. Well, somebody says, well, how does he talk? He talks through the Word. I said he talks through the Word. Now, some of you, bless your heart, you want to have a personal one-on-one. You can't do that. You're not that special. I know you've been around. I know you've been in the church long enough that you think you ought to have some entitlement. Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Amen. There are no entitlements for tenured believers in the Church of Christ. You just got to know that. The person who comes in tomorrow, yesterday, has much presence as you do, and you've been in here 30 years. I know that ain't popular, but the Spirit says that there is but one body. And all of us are under the authority of the one Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4. So don't get it twisted. None of us are where we should be. But thank God we ain't where we used to be. I'm still learning. I'm a teacher, but yet I'm still being taught by the Holy Spirit. Some of us don't want to be taught anymore. And then some of us are tired of kibbles and bits. We don't want friskies anymore. We don't want kibbles and bits. It's time. It's time for the meat of the Word that produces mature believers. I'm tired of looking for folk to do God's work. I'm looking for some soldiers. Say amen. I'm glad this is not my church because I dismiss most of us. No, I really would. I said, I'm glad this is not my church. Yeah, I'm glad it belongs to the Lord. He's more merciful than me. Yeah. I dismiss most of us in here. Yeah. Say amen. But the Spirit teaches, and then secondly, he'll testify. Yeah. Now, watch the Holy Spirit. He don't testify about you. The Holy Spirit never draws attention to your giftedness. You do. Holy Spirit don't applaud over the fact you can preach. He doesn't clap because you bake a good cake. He ain't into how well you write. He's not into ethics. He's not into all of that stuff. He's into glorifying God.
Understand that. And if your life ain't glorifying God, that's another spirit in there.
Yeah.
And that spirit gonna get that demon out of there. Because that tears up a church. That tears up a house. That tears up relationships. The spirit has to work. Testifies of Jesus. His lordship. And his kingship. And then third thing, this is where we're doing my sermons, come just laying the foundation. He's a guide. And then listen, look now. He didn't come here to guide Jesus. Amen. God can't guide God. God is the guide.
Yeah.
Oh, well, are you saying the Holy Spirit? You know exactly what I'm saying, and don't mess with me. Because I'll show you that he is God.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, the Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and they are one. They agree. Co-equal, co-existence, co-substantial, cooperative. See? I'm just laying the foundation. But when is the sermon coming? It's coming. But you're not going to appreciate it until you understand what I'm doing. I don't want you to leave anytime, but I didn't get it. If you didn't get nothing out in here, it wasn't nothing in there when you came here. And you know, I'm from Texas, nothing for nothing. Back home, naught for naught. Leaves naught. Amen. Now watch. So we know what the Spirit does. He indwells the believer. Is that right? Are you listening? While he's there, he's doing number what? Number one? Teaching. Say it with me. He's teaching. He's teaching me. Not her and not them. He's teaching. Let me hear you say it. Me. He's testifying of Jesus. He's not testifying about you. Why? Ain't nothing to say. Ain't nothing to say about you. Better care about what school you went to. About your fraternity and your sorority, really? Better care about you pledging. You pledge more of that stuff out there, won't even pledge nothing to God. Won't you drop some blood on Jesus? Drop some blood on that. But you love to flash. You love to drop a name. If you ain't dropping Jesus' name, drop the name. Don't miss that. Some of you get that on the way to the house. He don't drop it. It's dropping. He said, don't drop it. Drop. Don't worry about it. Well, later on, the Spirit will reveal to you just what I said.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, he'll guide you.
That's right.
If you're lost, you don't know who to go to.
Yeah.
You don't know who to marry.
Yeah.
You don't know who to listen to. The Holy Spirit will guide you. God didn't give you the Spirit to hurt you,
right,
but to help
That's
you.
Right.
Now run now to John 16. Let me make sense. These verses deal with two things. Number one, Jesus' pending departure, followed by his anticipation of leaving them with another comforter. Look what he says. I gotta go, so to speak. I gotta leave you. But if I don't leave you, I can't send you what you're gonna need. If I go, I'm gonna send you what? A comforter. One version says I'll send you another helper, a counselor. All right? And then when he comes, look what he's going to do. He's going to convict the world of sin. So for the last four or five sermons, we've been talking about the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's really been the topic. He's in the business of convicting. Now, this is interesting because we don't want a convicting spirit. We want a, you know, a compadre. We want a partnering spirit. Yeah, we want the Holy Ghost to roll with us. Let me help. Can I help you? Ain't nobody in the Godhead want to roll with you. You ain't rolling like that to bring Yahweh down and the Son and the Holy Spirit to ride with you in your reckless life. Really? Who would want to? Even a demon wouldn't want to roll with you. Because they know. Are you listening to me? We don't bring God down to partner with us. We partner with God. You know why? He's sovereign. See, we got it twisted. Someone then told us we are God. And that's why you tell God what you're going to do. That's why God leave most of us alone. Because how you going to tell Yahweh? You can't even count the planets. He made them all. Psalms 24, do you need a lesson this morning? Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, everything in it belongs to him. Say amen. Amen. Just check. Go check with Job before you start messing with God. I'd holler at Job. I'd ask Job, what did he say? You got time? Job will inform you. Job 38 and 39, watch what you say to God. What you going to do and not do. Now look at this text. Three things the convicting ministry of the Spirit does. It convicts man of, number one, sin. That's the point we're on. Number two, of righteousness. And number three, of judgment. After I finish sin today, we're going to go into righteousness the month of December. And then, unfortunately, I got to spill over into 2016 with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that unfortunately? We got to go into the new year with the Holy Ghost. How about that? And I'm suggesting that the convicting ministry of the Spirit does three things. Number one, confrontation. Every believer must be confronted. But I drop by to tell you that when God confronts you, he doesn't confront you to condemn you. He confronts you out of love. The second aspect of the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit is not only is he confronting, he's correcting you. After you've been confronted, you need to be corrected. Most folk don't mind being confronted. They just don't want to be corrected. The Holy Ghost is in the correcting business. Everybody needs correcting. And then the third thing he does, and this is my sermon this morning, he counsels us. Y'all got a minute? The Holy Spirit. So I entitled this little sermonette this morning, Is There a Counselor in the House? That's the little sermon topic. For your careful listening and for your undivided attention, is there a counselor in the house? Now run over to Romans chapter 8. I need verse 14 and Romans chapter 8. I need verse 26 and I need verse 27. And this little homily is yours. But I want to make some point. I want to do some teaching right along in here. So the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Is that right? Right. If you don't believe me, read Romans chapter 8, but don't do it right now. The word dwell there comes from Greek word that really means to take up residence. He's not even talking about a squatter. You can remove squatters. Squatters was a term that was used when the folk left the South and was headed to the promised land called the West Coast, amen, the Golden State. They would matriculate along and they would squat at different places, and sometimes they'd find a piece of property, and they would just squat there. But a squatter doesn't necessarily have rights to the property. See, he's just squatting. The Holy Spirit ain't a squatter. He doesn't come and just sit there for a while. I maintain either he's in there or he's not. The Greek word there means to take up residence. And while I'm there, he won't live in unholy places. So he's got to take up residence. So he lives. And he's not in your hand, he's not in your feet, and he ain't in your back pocket, and he doesn't come when you call. That ain't the Holy Spirit. You cannot order. Are you listening to me? You can't order God around. You're out of your league. That's above your pay grade. You can't tell God what you're going to do. And so he comes and he dwells. Are you listening? He dwells in the believer. Now while there, look what he does. Verse 14, the book says what? Many as, underline that, as many as what?
Are led by the Spirit of God.
Are led.
Led.
By the Spirit of God, do what?
They are the sons of God.
Look now. Now, you can claim, you can throw up deuces, say amen. You can claim your hood. You can wear the colors. That don't make you anything until you prove to that group you're worthy of that group. The Holy Spirit leads you. That Greek word there really means to take hold of you and move you and guide you. Are you listening? Not under coercion, but under personal yielding. See, the reason why the Spirit is not working for a lot of us is that we have been yielded our will to his will. He can't come in there on a part-time basis. It cannot be half of what you like and half of what he likes. Holy Spirit, we get ready to hang out together. What you like? You can't talk to him like that. You can't send him no email. You can't tweet him and tell him what the plans is. The Greek word there says he is the one with the plans.
That's right.
Are you listening? Which means you don't have no plans. That Greek word I go there means that he is the one who embodies your persona and yanks your chain. You ever wonder why you still haven't got in the mess you've been trying to get into? He been yanking your chain. Some of y'all, he got to yank it a little harder. Say, man. Say, man. I got a couple of dogs, and they in training. One of them, Ringo, he's 6 years old. He's a German short-haired pointer. He gets it. He's not neutered. He's fully male. Amen. Which means there is some stuff going on between he and I. First 2 years, he didn't get it. So I went and got a training collar. Training collar has these little, Kathleen doesn't like it because she feels that this is abusive. Now, listen, nothing in this world is abusive unless the person with it is an abuser. I learned how to use the choke chain. Amen. You do a couple of things, you know, and for some dogs you have to yank a little harder. Ringo has short hairs and there is no covering, thick covering around his neck. So he only needs a little. But then a couple here by the name, I won't say Don's name, and I won't say Francis' name, gave me a half shepherd and a half Rottweiler. Just go figure with that. And he don't know who he want to be. And he's over a year, and he got some issues. Great, loving dog, but he has a problem with recall. Ringo, I'll whistle. He'll come sit and look. Waiting on the next command. I bend over, he raises his hand and shakes my hand. Yeah, good boy, good boy. Yeah. He'll go sit by the gate. I can put his leash on him. He won't move. I can walk him through the hood, unleash him, let him run around, and call him. He'll come. No matter where he is, he'll hear my voice. Poof. You don't believe me? Come walk with me. But Cody, I am not letting Cody off the chain. Matter of fact, I find myself a year later, I'm still young, and there's something wrong with this dog. I thought about taking the choke chain back to the pet house where I got it, telling that thing ain't working. But it ain't the chain, it ain't me, it's that dog. Ain't nothing but the dog get him. So I gotta yank a little harder. But guess what? Yeah. Guess what I'm doing? Yeah. Wisdom told me to hook him up with Ringo.
Yeah.
So I hooked that young dog up with an OG, an old dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now my dogs, they stop when I stop. Yeah. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost right now.
Yeah.
And they yield when I yield. And Cody's starting to get it.
Yeah.
But I still got that choke chain on him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, his nature, his dog, Rottweiler, and shepherd. Amen. That was my point I was trying to make. That's what that word in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. That make any sense? Did that help you? All right. Now, do you need a chain around your neck? Just come on. Now, I'm serious. Let's just tell the truth. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you want the devil yanking it? Or do you want God pulling on it? Oh, yep. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And some of you ones in here know you need something around your neck. All right, now. All right. Here's the lesson. Man. Look at verse number 26.
Watch likewise.
This. Likewise. Now notice now. Verse 14 says what?
Those who are led.
Those who are what?
Led
by the Spirit of God.
They are sons of God.
Notice what they're called. They don't have to identify themselves. Praise God. The Spirit identifies them. The Spirit says, that's my boy. Listen, if I take Ringo off of the leash and he comes and sits right there, whose dog is it?
Your dog.
Amen. And guess what you can't do with my dog? You can't call my dog for me. That's my dog. Say amen. And he knows my dog. He got close to my dog. Matter of fact, he got too close, and I looked up, and Ringo was nipping at him. He wasn't trying to bite him, not yet, because I didn't tell him to do that. But he was letting Deja know. Man, who are you? You know, and Deja is a pretty nice guy. And, you can be nice, but, you ain't me. My dog knows me. I heard Jesus says, my sheep know me. I am known by my sheep, and they know me. I call them. They come. They don't listen to another man's voice. Just a moment. When the Holy Spirit calls you and you go someplace else, you may not be one of the sheep. You might be an old billy goat. Say amen, somebody. I'm talking about transformation now. I'm not talking about first principles. I'm talking about who's running the show. That's why the church is weak. That's why folk are not reliable. That's why we can't count on nobody. You're rolling with the wrong thing. Say amen. Now, look at verse 26. Hurry. We've got two words I want to work with. Got to go. Hurry up. 14, 26, and the Bible says what?
26 says, likewise the Spirit.
Notice, first word is what?
Likewise.
And likewise what?
The Spirit.
But likewise. What does likewise mean? In the same way as what? As verse 14. Yeah. As the I go there, the leading grabs hold of you to direct you. Paul is saying, in the same way, the what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
Also. Helpeth our infirmity.
Look, the Greek word help there is a compound word. It's a compound word. The first part, the prefix has to do with. The word soon means to with. Watch this now. The remaining anti-lambinome means to grab hold of or to participate in. Look at the text. So when the Spirit grabs hold of you, you guys partner. The only time you have a partnership is when the Spirit initiates it. You don't initiate it because you don't know what to do. Understand this, because we want the Holy Ghost in there, but you can't tell him what to do. And even if you did, he won't listen. How do you know it? He ain't heard me yet. And guess what I got to say? Thank you for not listening to this fool up here who thinks he knows what to do because he halfway edumacated. God don't need your intellect to be intellectual. He is intellect. You better read 1 Corinthians. Don't go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where is the wise man? Where is the philosopher? Where is the sage? Do you not know that the wisdom of the world is foolishness? On a good day, your intellect is foolishness with God. The Bible says if God had any foolishness, the foolishness of God will be wiser than the wisdom of man. I said if he had any foolishness, he wouldn't have to tap his wisdom button. He would deal with you and me on the foolish level. Look at the text, because in his foolishness, he got more sense than every man on the planet. Don't you miss that? Because I know you're smart and you got it all figured out. That's why you in the messes you in now. That's why you in there. This word is suggesting that the Holy Spirit will help you. But it helps you on its agenda and not yours. See, he knows you're hurting. Yeah. Listen to me. He knows what your intimate needs are. How do you know? He's the third person of the Godhead. He's fully omniscient. He's all-knowing. You can't call him in and begin to tell him everything. You're wasting your time. Why? He already knows. So he doesn't come in to reveal anything other than you need to allow me to control your thinking and your behavior. See, the reason why some of us are not getting help, our concept of help is him fixing it. The Greek word doesn't suggest that you do it on your own, and it doesn't suggest that he does it on his own. In other words, it's a partnership. He's gonna work with you towards whose agenda? He is. Don't miss that. See, a lot of folk won't help, but you wanna tell the Holy Spirit what to do. And you hadn't even been listening to what the Word then told you to do. Say amen. You wanna help with your marriage? Amen. Well, get some help picking first. How about that? Well, I'm pretty good. We know you're on number 9 right now. Yeah, and then we want to blame the folk we pick. If I hadn't picked you, what if God stuck his finger out of heaven and said, Vincent, had I picked you, then Sister Hawkins wouldn't be in the mess she's in with you. I said, what if? I said, if. I'm just trying to make a point here, Sister Hawkins. I don't need to hear this priest at me on through the house. I'm just trying to make a point. And my point is this. God is not in the business of partnering with you unless you think you know what to do. That Greek word is suggesting that you are partnering with him because he's the leader.
That's right.
Y'all understand that?
Wow.
And before you go picking a partner, you need this partner. Because this partner will help you with the other folk you get picked with. You ever wonder why you can't seem to get on the right job? Because you keep signing up for jobs that ain't for you. And after a while, God will leave you alone. If you want nickel and dime jobs to get ahead, bless you.
Yeah, right.
God's not going to get off the throne. He's not going to lose no sleep.
That's right.
But you'll be down here every Sunday, happy for one job. I don't like my job. Then there's something wrong with you. You need therapy.
Yeah.
And you're going to ask God for something and then be unhappy with it when he gives you. Because he got some folk there that are there to design to help you to get close to him.
Yeah.
I'm learning to appreciate antagonistic brethren. I said, I pray for me on that. I'm learning to appreciate antagonistic brethren, even my own colleagues, because everybody serves a purpose. Even Pharaoh served a purpose. God could have got Israel out of Egypt in day one. Why he take so long? It wasn't just about Pharaoh. It was about them hard-headed, stubborn, stiff-necked Israelites. Who no sooner than they got out of Egypt started to complain that we ain't got no water. We ain't got no food. Why the leadership bring us out here? Praise God. Amen. That's just human nature. Human nature. He wants to help you. How many of you need help this morning? Yeah, everybody. Yeah. See, we need to get off this, I got this stuff. See, when the Spirit hear you say, you got it, he gone. He gets ghosts, literally. Some of y'all will figure that out on the way to the house. Yeah, he'll get ghosts. Now watch this. Let's finish. Folk want to eat, man. We got to eat. Hurry.
Likewise the Spirit.
Likewise the Spirit.
It also helpeth our.
Are we clear on the help there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not you helping him. You are helpless and hopeless.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit will come and partner with your hopelessness.
Yeah.
I love this. And your helplessness.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? Watch this. Now read.
He helpeth our infirmity.
He going to help with what?
Our infirmity.
Wait a minute. And what? You mean, who is he talking to? He can't be talking to us because we're not infirmed. That Greek word means weakness.
Yeah.
And let me drop this. The context there has to do with physical weakness and psychological weakness, as well as spiritual weakness. You ever wonder why you can't seem to do what you'd like to do?
Yeah.
Romans 7, Paul says, the good I know I ought to do, I don't do, but that which I know I have no business doing. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
I find myself doing it. Paul says, oh, wretched. He didn't say, great apostle that I am, divine, wretched. I ain't got time to break down that wretched word. That wretchedness speaks to your toe-upness, psychologically, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Paul says, I'm so wretched. And this wretchedness is internal. It's an internal discontent with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. How many of you really feel bad when you sin? Especially after you've been in church 30 years. They just stupid. I don't even want you to know the sins I commit. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad God don't play videos on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because if he did, I want him to show yours first. Say amen. And you know, you do stupid stuff. You anybody do stupid stuff? 33 years later in the faith, 58 years later on the planet, I want to walk around with a sign, kick me, but I'm afraid to because you might. Like, a wretched man. I want to wake up every day not to sin, but sin finds me. And every time I get her to say no to it, is they put that down. Wretched man. But look what he says. Yeah. Who shall? Deliver. I got to quit. Not what shall? Who shall? Not Jack Daniel, Jim Beam, Johnny Walker, nor Mary Jane, but Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives me the victory. They're going to read. Hurry, somebody got one. Hurry. Right. One more word. One more word.
Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Now, listen, listen. First of all, you got to understand that you're weak. Right. Amen. When I've been in the church, I didn't ask you about you. I told you tenureship, and he don't mean nothing.
That's right.
Well, you know, my daddy built it good. Yeah, I'm glad he built this church, but this ain't the one Jesus built.
Right.
Help me, somebody. I don't mean no harm. I appreciate. I'm sorry. I appreciate. Yeah, religious legacy.
Yeah.
But religious legacy, tradition and heritage won't get you into heaven.
Right.
The only saving grace you have is Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness right there? And so you need to know, if you don't know by now, you sick.
Right.
And the moment you think you're not sick, you real sick.
Yeah.
Amen. And you are infirmed in some form or some fashion. But look what the text said. The Holy Ghost has come along to do what?
Help us in our weakness.
To help you in your weakness. Which means you don't have to settle for your weakness every Sunday.
Right.
I don't mean no harm, but how is it you weak every Sunday?
Lord.
But you ain't weak on Saturday.
Lord.
When the lights in Vegas call, you ain't weak. You get energy.
Yeah,
but when the first day of the week roll around, all of a sudden, you get a headache, a toothache, and a backache. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
And then you can't blame the Lord, the first fruits of your life and the tithes and the offering, because you're weak. And then you're going to have the audacity to make suggestions to the church.
Yeah. Right.
I ain't hearing you.
Right.
Let me tell you something. I'm too old. I dismiss weak-kneed, fickle, faithless brethren.
Yeah.
I don't give them. Listen, I don't mean no harm.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord sent me a palatable assisted minister with much more palatability. Me, I'm still rough around there. I'm looking for soldiers. I'm looking for some bald thugs. I'm looking for some cats. I'm looking for the roster man who ready to throw down with you. I'm tired of pandering, fickle fellas. Man, you all right? Boy! Some of you need to be knocked up. You need to have your chain yanked. All right, hurry. We got to quit. Seriously, we got to quit. Hurry. One more word.
He helps us in our weakness.
He helps us in our weakness.
We do not know what we ought to pray.
Look, you so weak.
Don't know what to pray for.
I got to quit, but you don't even know what to ask for. Say amen. You think you're asking, but you don't even know. You don't have enough sense, even as an adult. Some of us, they ought to take our chilling from us. I'm just saying, we ought to call the spiritual DPS, Department of Public Services, and come get your chilling from you, because you ain't got enough sense as an adult to know what to pray for. But thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He'll help you.
Uh-huh.
But you always got something to say about somebody else's chilling. God need to yank you by your neck, your chain. Same, I'm just trying to make sense out of here.
Yeah,
and watch this now. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
We do not know what we ought to pray for.
You don't even know what you ought to pray for.
But the Spirit himself.
What he going to do?
Intercede
for us. There's another word. There's another word, another Greek word. Interesting. Another compound word, which means although he is helping you and he's working with you, he doesn't ask you for help. He provides direction. Watch this. The book says He does what?
Intercedes.
He intercedes for who?
Us.
You understand why he does that? Because you, when you're sick, a sick person ain't got no business telling another sick person how to get well. I'm finna quit. So the Holy Spirit has to interrupt your language, interrupt your intellect, interrupt your business. He don't say, can I have a word? The Spirit of God, this word here don't mean to ask you, can I speak now?
No, I
got to quit, but Peter got happy on the Mount of Transfiguration. Y'all remember that? Book says Jesus took three boys up to the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John, and there transfigured himself. And while he was there, standing with him was Elijah and Moses, and they were talking. What were they talking about? Talking about Calvary. Isn't that right? And while they were talking, oh, Peter, my good friend and my first cousin, got happy on the mountain and decided we're going to do some interesting things here. Tell you what we're going to do, because I feel emotionally happy. We're going to build three booths. One for you, Jesus, because you Lord of Lords. One for you, Moses, because you're the great lawgiver. And one for you, Elijah, because you're a great prophet. The book says that while he spake, intercession. Intercession has to interrupt your conversation and your life. Override what you say. Peter didn't even say, the Lord didn't even say, excuse me. He didn't even say, don't you know who I am? He dismissed Peter and said, this son and whom I now please, listen to him. And there was nothing else said on that mountain. Check the text, Matthew 17, Mark 9, you read it just like, nothing else said. The Holy Spirit don't ask you for information. You can't even Google that. The Holy Ghost Googles the universe. So what's your point? You really want him to intercede? See, he's not going to do what you don't want him to do. Some of us don't want him in there because you won't have no more fun like you used to been having fun. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Because when he intercedes and he helps you learn how to talk to the Father, he takes those deep sighs. See, that groaning there is the Spirit. Listen to me. It's that Spirit that's in you that's been working with your spirit. Literally, that Greek word means to sigh. You ever got news? You ever ache for the church? Man, I ain't. And I sigh. It's that sigh. That's the Spirit with your spirit communicating to God how you feel about the church. You miss service and don't sigh, you sick. Are you listening to me? You come and you have nothing to give, you sick. And you ought to sigh. You ought to sigh over your spiritual sickness. Quit sighing over silly stuff. Spirit will work with you, but he's got to interrupt. He's got to override your agenda. And some of you are having too much fun. Look, what a great church we in. You can come and go with no accountability. No responsibility. Wear what you want to wear. Do your own thing. And I'm guilty. We tolerate a whole lot of foolishness right in the kingdom of God. And one of my biggest fears is God going to hold me responsible because I'm a teacher. If you're here this morning, do you want the third person of the Godhead in there? Be honest with you. Because when he and the son get to work, you're not going to like it. Amen. And be careful now. Be careful. Because he can, and you know this, he can chastise you punitively. He can lay you down, stretch you out, and let you lay down. Amen. I don't want to do that. I want to learn right now. Well, that was my little sermon this morning. I didn't mean to keep it that long, but that's what God gave me. I'm signed for us. Man, I want us to mature. And I'm tired of grown up, you know, I call them teenage mutant ninja believers. Walking around with pull-ups and pacifiers in their mouths. don't know what's going on in the church. Yeah. But to get out there in that world and they dance to that stuff.
Yeah.
They drinking a drink from Babylon.
Right.
They drunk on the great whore of Babylon.
Man.
And they blinded by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're here this morning, I'm tired. Aren't you tired?
Mm-hmm.
I want more for the church.
Amen.
And it starts with Vincent. Don't ask others to be what you're not. Leave us alone.
Right.
Say amen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't regulate my worship and yours. Look, I've seen your worship.
Yeah.
Ain't doing you no more. No, I don't serve a stale, stoic, stiff, and stuck up God.
No,
my God is alive,
yes.
Engaging, yes. Front line.
Yes.
It's kind of God I serve.
Right.
Well, I just don't see it. Well, hey, down the street, there's a cemetery. Ain't no noise in there. We're the church of the firstborn.
Yes.
Lively stone.
Yes.
Pilling ground of the truth.
Yes.
Church of the living God. Say amen.
Yes.
And you can be a part of that group. You come by faith, repentance, and baptism. The only thing we have to offer in the Lord's church is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No more and no less.
Right.
And if he can't get it done, God help us all. If you're here and you need prayer, my brother, this sermon was with you in mind.
Yeah.
And by the way, my name is Vincent Hawkins, and I approve of this sermon.
That's right.
You can cut now. Say, we together stand. Will you cut?